Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive with us. Today, we're going to be exploring the Apocrypha.
Ooh.
Have you heard of the Apocrypha?
I have heard of the Apocrypha.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So you're going to be able to help me out here
Absolute.
because this is new territory for me. So Apocrypha, it's a collection of texts, right?
Right.
And it's interesting because you find them in some Bibles and not in others.
It's like,
So, like Catholic and Orthodox Bibles, you'll find the Apocrypha in there.
yeah.
But if you have a Protestant Bible, like I do, you're not going to find it.
That's right. And that's one of the things that makes it so interesting, right? They
Bruh.
kind of occupy this gray area.
Yeah.
They were written between 400 BC and 100 AD. So they're bridging that gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Okay, so like a bridge between the two.
Exactly.
So we're talking about a time of huge change and turmoil.
Exactly. A lot going on.
And these texts give us a glimpse into that world.
Yeah, it was a time when Jewish identity was being shaped by so many different forces. You had Greek philosophy coming in.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You had the Jewish people trying to figure out, how to hold on to their traditions under foreign rule.
So almost like a prequel to the New Testament.
In a way, yeah, you could think of it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
But the Apocrypha is not just historical background.
Right.
It's a collection of really wild narratives, wisdom literature,
Okay.
and even an apocalyptic vision.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you know what's interesting?
Yeah.
Even Martin Luther,
Okay.
the father of the Protestant Reformation,
I mean, he's the one who took it out, right?
right? He had his reasons,
Yeah.
but even he said that these books were useful and good to read.
Wow. Okay, so he saw value even though he didn't include them.
Exactly.
That's fascinating.
So that's what we're going to be looking at in this deep dive.
Okay.
The content, the history, the impact of these often overlooked writings.
Okay, so we've established they're not in all Bibles.
Right.
They come from this really interesting time in history. And even Martin Luther thought they were worth reading.
Yeah.
So where do we begin?
Well, the first thing to understand is that the Apocrypha is not just one book.
Okay.
It's a whole library of different kinds of writing.
Okay.
You've got history, you've got wisdom literature,
Okay.
expansions of familiar biblical stories,
Okay.
even what you might call inspirational fiction.
Wow, so really a variety.
Yeah, it's very diverse.
Okay, so give me an example.
Okay, so there's the story of Susanna, for instance,
Susanna, okay.
and it's found in the book of Daniel,
Okay.
but only in the longer versions that include the Apocrypha.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And in this story, Susanna is this woman who's falsely accused by these corrupt judges,
Oh,
and
no.
they're trying to blackmail her.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a story about justice and faithfulness and the dangers of unchecked power.
Okay, so we're already talking about some pretty intense
Yeah,
themes
exactly.
right off the bat.
And that's not all.
Okay.
There's another story, the Book of Judith, and she uses her wit and her courage to save her village from an invading army.
Wow, Judith sounds amazing.
Right.
So we got drama, intrigue, strong women.
It's all there.
What a
There's even
huh.
an extra psalm,
No way, an
Psalm
exaha.
151.
So beyond the traditional 150.
Exactly.
Wow, I had no idea.
There's so much to discover.
Okay, I'm starting to see why this is a deep dive. All
Right.
right, so we've got stories. We've got Psalms. What about like practical advice? Is there anything like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
There's the Wisdom of Ben Sira.
Wisdom of Ben Sira.
And it's a book that kind of builds on the wisdom tradition of Proverbs,
Okay.
but it goes even deeper.
Okay.
It talks about friendship, social relationships, even managing finances.
Wow. Okay.
Things that people were dealing with back then and we still deal with today.
Still relevant.
Absolutely.
So it's not just stories and psalms. It's like how to live your life kind of stuff. I
Exactly.
like that. So all of this is taking place during a really pivotal time in Jewish history. We've
Yeah.
talked about it a bit already,
Right.
but paint a clearer picture for me.
Sure. So it was a time of immense upheaval,
Okay.
a real clash of cultures. The Jewish people were living under foreign rule,
Okay.
first under the Persians, then the Greeks,
Yeah.
and eventually the Romans.
So there's this constant pressure to conform.
Exactly.
So how did the Jewish people respond to all of that?
Well, that's where the books of 1st and 2nd Maccabees come in.
Okay, the
They
Maccabees.
give us a firsthand account of the Maccabean Revolt,
Okay.
a fierce struggle for religious and political freedom.
This is like the story of those warriors who fought for Jewish independence, right?
That's right.
Feels like an action movie.
It does. There's definitely action and drama, but it's much more than that.
Okay.
These books give us a window into the hearts and minds of the people who are fighting for their very survival.
So it wasn't just about physical survival. It was about, like, preserving their identity, their faith, their way of life.
Absolutely. Yeah. They were fighting for the right to practice their religion freely, to live according to their own laws and customs.
Wow.
They even rededicated the temple in Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
After it had been desecrated.
Wow.
An event we still celebrate today as Hanukkah.
That's incredible. So their fight against assimilation is still relevant today.
I think so.
It's a reminder that preserving your heritage can take a lot of courage and sacrifice.
Absolutely. Their story continues to resonate.
Mm.
Those themes of resistance, cultural identity, religious freedom, they're timeless.
Yeah, powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got these daring stories of resistance.
Yeah.
We've got ancient wisdom for daily life and an extra psalm thrown in.
For good measure.
What else is hiding in the Apocrypha?
Well, remember how we talked about the influence of Greek philosophy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really evident in a book called The Wisdom of Solomon.
Wisdom of Solomon, is that different from The Wisdom of Ben Sira?
Yes. Different book.
Okay, just making sure.
And this one really dives into the intellectual currents of the time.
Okay.
It explores themes of wisdom, justice, the afterlife.
Okay.
But it does so through a lens that's clearly influenced by Greek philosophical ideas.
So it's showing us the diversity of Jewish thought during this time.
Exactly.
How they were engaging with the wider world, but still holding on to their own beliefs.
Right. It wasn't a monolithic culture.
Right.
You know, there were different schools of thought, different interpretations of scripture.
Okay.
Different ways of reconciling Jewish tradition with all these new ideas floating around.
This is getting so interesting.
Yeah.
We're seeing how the Apocrypha reveals this complex and dynamic period in Jewish history.
Yeah.
A time of great change and upheaval, but also a time of intellectual and spiritual exploration.
Yeah, it's like peeking behind the curtain of this bygone era and discovering a world that's both familiar and strange.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
And what's really fascinating is that this period and these texts, they had a huge influence on the development of early Christianity.
That's a perfect bridge to our next part of this deep dive.
It is.
We've uncovered so much already, but I can't wait to learn about that connection.
You too. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this connection between the Apocrypha and early Christianity.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating one.
It is. It's something I'd never really thought about before.
It's often overlooked, but it's really important to understand.
Okay.
You see, early Christians, they didn't have a New Testament yet.
Right.
Their Bible was what we now call the Old Testament.
Okay.
And that included the Apocrypha.
So they were reading these texts alongside what we now consider the core Hebrew Bible.
Exactly. They were all part of the same scriptures for them.
That's wild to think about.
It is, right.
Like, it really shows you how intertwined those early communities were.
Absolutely.
But, okay, so how did the Apocrypha actually influence Christian thought?
We'll take the concept of the afterlife, for example.
Okay, the afterlife.
In the Hebrew Bible, the afterlife is kind of shadowy.
Okay.
Not a major focus. But in the Apocryphas, especially in the Wisdom of Solomon, we see a much more developed idea.
Okay.
Of the soul's immortality and judgment after death.
So this wasn't just some abstract idea for them.
No, not at all.
It had real weight in terms of how they understood their faith and how they lived their lives.
Exactly. Yeah. And this emphasis on the afterlife, you know, on reward and punishment.
Yeah.
Beyond this earthly life.
Yeah.
It became a central part of early Christian theology.
Wow. Okay. That's a great example.
Yeah.
Are there any other instances where we can see the Apocrypha's fingerprints on Christian beliefs?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
What about the idea of praying for the dead?
Praying for the dead.
You don't really see that in the Hebrew Bible.
Okay.
But it pops up in 2 Maccabees.
Okay.
Where Judas Maccabeus offers prayers and sacrifices for fallen soldiers.
So this practice, which became central to some branches of Christianity, actually has roots in the Apocrypha.
It's one of the clearest examples of that connection. It shows how the Apocrypha was this bridge, not just between the Old and New Testaments, but between Judaism and early Christianity.
It's like we're piecing together this historical puzzle.
Yeah.
And the Apocrypha is this missing piece that helps us see the bigger picture.
Exactly. And there are other intriguing connections.
Oh, okay. Like what?
Well, some scholars even suggest that the concept of purgatory.
Purgatory.
You know, a state of purification after death.
Right.
That it might have been influenced by ideas found in the Apocrypha.
That's fascinating.
It is.
So these texts weren't just passively read by early Christians.
No.
They were shaping how they interpreted their faith.
Right.
And how they developed their own traditions.
Absolutely. It was a dynamic process, and the Apocrypha was a big part of it.
Okay. I'm totally convinced that the Apocrypha is crucial for understanding this period.
Yeah.
But we've talked a lot about history and influence.
Uh-huh.
What about, like, personal relevance?
Right.
What can we learn from these texts today?
That's a great question.
Regardless of our beliefs, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what's in it for us now?
Well, remember how we talked about the wisdom of Ben Sira?
Yeah, with all the advice for daily life.
Exactly. Well, it's not just any advice.
Okay.
It's advice that's rooted in a really deep understanding of human nature.
Okay.
And what it means to live a good life.
Okay, so give me an example. Like, what kind of wisdom are we talking about here?
Okay, so there's this one passage where Ben Sira says, "Do not exalt yourself in the counsel of your own heart."
Okay. Do not exalt yourself in the counsel of your own heart.
In other words, don't get too caught up in your own ego.
Okay.
In your own limited perspective.
Right.
It's a reminder to be humble, to seek wisdom from others, to realize that we don't have all the answers.
That's powerful and so relevant for today.
Right.
Like, we live in a world that's all about self-promotion.
Exactly.
And Ben Sira is like, hey, pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, be humble.
Seek guidance from outside yourself.
Exactly.
I love that.
And he also talks about friendship.
Okay, friendship.
He says, "A faithful friend is a strong defense, and he that hath found such an one hath found a treasure."
Okay, so he's not messing around.
No, he's serious about friendship.
He's saying it's essential for a good life.
Absolutely. And in our world, you know, where everything is so fast-paced and digital.
Right. It's easy to forget about real connection.
Yeah, it's easy to take it for granted.
But Ben Sira is reminding us that it's precious.
Yeah. Nurture those friendships.
I love that. Okay, what else?
He even talks about money.
Money.
He says, "Those who love money will never have enough."
Those who love money will never have enough.
And that just resonates so deeply with our culture today.
It does.
Where we're constantly told we need more, more.
Yeah, he's calling out that greed.
Exactly.
That desire for more that never really satisfies.
That's right. And this was written centuries ago.
Talk about timeless wisdom.
I know. It's amazing.
It's like they tapped into something fundamental about the human experience.
Yeah, something that transcends time and culture.
Okay, so we've got this wisdom for life. But the Apocrypha doesn't shy away from the darker stuff either.
No. It doesn't.
Like, remember how we talked about there being an apocalypse in there?
Oh, yes. Second Esdras.
That's the one.
That one's intense.
Yeah. I'm both intrigued and a little scared to dive into that one.
I get it. Apocalyptic literature can be pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But Second Esdras is more than just doom and gloom.
Okay.
It's a really profound reflection on suffering and loss.
Okay.
And the search for meaning in a world that often feels chaotic and unfair.
I can see how that would resonate with people living in a time of so much upheaval.
Absolutely.
Like the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem.
Yeah, that would have been traumatic.
Yeah, shaking their faith to the core.
For sure. And the author of Second Esdras, he doesn't offer easy answers.
Okay.
He's grappling with really tough questions.
What kind of questions?
Questions like, why do the righteous suffer?
Mm.
What is God's plan for humanity?
Yeah.
How can we find hope in a world that seems so broken?
These are questions that we still ask today. So even though it's framed within this apocalyptic vision,
yeah,
it's really about those fundamental challenges of human existence.
Precisely. And what makes Second Esdras so compelling is that it doesn't offer simplistic solutions.
Okay.
The author is genuinely struggling to understand God's ways and to find meaning in the midst of suffering.
It's a reminder that faith isn't about having all the answers.
Locking.
It's about wrestling with those tough questions.
Yeah.
And holding on to hope even when things are really hard.
Yeah, exactly. And even in the midst of this apocalyptic vision, there is a glimmer of hope.
Okay.
Second Esdras reminds us that God's justice will prevail
mm.
and that those who remain faithful will be vindicated.
So it's a message of resilience,
yeah.
of finding strength in your beliefs even when facing adversity.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a powerful message.
It is.
And I think it speaks to that human need for meaning.
Yeah.
Especially when things are tough.
Absolutely.
It's a reminder that even in the darkest of times,
yeah.
there's that spark of hope that can sustain us.
And that spark often comes from our beliefs, from our values, from the stories that connect us to something bigger than ourselves.
I think we've covered so much in this deep dive.
We have.
But I feel like there's still so much more to explore.
There is.
So much more to learn about the Apocrypha.
Definitely.
And how these texts can speak to us today.
Absolutely.
I feel like we've just scratched the surface of these texts.
We have.
There's so much there.
There is.
Not just for understanding history.
Right.
But for personal reflection, too.
Yeah. It's like the Apocrypha is a mirror
mm.
reflecting the complexities of the past.
Yeah.
but also the questions we still grapple with today.
And you know, it really challenges our assumptions about what is scripture.
It does, right?
Why are some texts in some Bibles and not others?
Yeah, who made those decisions?
Like, on what basis?
Right. It gets into all these fascinating questions.
Of history and theology.
Yeah.
Even power dynamics.
Absolutely.
It's like the Bible itself has a history, a process of formation.
Right.
A context that shapes how we interpret it.
Exactly.
And the Apocrypha really throws that into sharp relief.
It does.
It makes us ask, what is divine revelation? How do we know what's the voice of God? How do we decide what's authoritative?
These are big questions.
They are.
And the Apocrypha forces us to wrestle with them.
It's not just about accepting or rejecting certain texts.
Right.
It's about examining our own beliefs, our own assumptions.
Exactly. And, you know, even though the Apocrypha might not be part of everyone's Bible, its influence is huge.
Really?
It's woven into the fabric of Western culture.
Okay.
Art, literature, music, philosophy.
So even if we haven't read the texts directly, we've probably encountered the ideas in other forms.
Oh, for sure.
Give me an example.
Okay, take Handel's Messiah.
Okay.
One of the most famous pieces of Western classical music.
Sure.
It's full of imagery and concepts from the Apocrypha.
It's amazing how these ancient texts have echoed through time.
It is.
Shaping our culture in ways we don't even realize.
And that's why engaging with the Apocrypha is so enriching.
Mm.
It gives us a deeper understanding.
Of history. Mm-hmm. Of religion.
Yeah.
Even our own cultural heritage.
Absolutely.
I feel like I've been given a whole new lens
to
view both the past and the present.
That's great to hear.
So as we wrap up, is there one key takeaway you would want listeners to remember?
I think the biggest one is this.
Okay.
The Apocrypha reminds us that the search for meaning, for truth, for connection to something bigger than ourselves, it's a universal human longing.
It is.
And these texts, they give us a glimpse into how people in another time wrestled with those same questions.
It highlights that shared human experience across time and cultures.
We're not alone in our search for meaning.
And that's a really hopeful message.
It is.
So to everyone listening, I hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and encouraged you to explore the Apocrypha for yourselves.
You might be surprised by what you find.
Happy reading, everyone.
Happy reading.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.